Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Hello, friend. Unsolved crimes with shadowy figures, like the Zodiac Killer, ignite public obsession, turning mysteries into enduring legends. These dark riddles captivate imaginations, leaving a permanent mark on society. The mystery surrounding these cases draws amateur sleuths and true crime enthusiasts who dedicate countless hours to piecing together clues, scrutinizing evidence, and proposing theories. This detective work can sometimes yield valuable insights and uncover overlooked details. However, this passionate engagement can also have a darker side. It can give rise to dangerous speculation and the rapid spread of unfounded theories. The urgency to resolve these cases intensifies with time. Prolonged uncertainty fuels a relentless pursuit of the truth. In any unsolved crime, when suspicions arise, the anonymity of the accuser enables a veil of protection, allowing voices to be heard without fear of direct consequence. On one side of the coin, this cloak of invisibility empowers whistleblowers to expose hidden truth safely. On the other, it can foster an environment where baseless accusations are delivered unchecked. Determining which scenario is at play in each instance is a complex and challenging task. As the year 1976 swept in, California had relaxed its grip on the Zodiac Killer case. The killer had been silent since 1974, and the investigations into the only named suspect in the case, Arthur Lee Allen, had ground to a halt. There was no evidence linking Allen to this killer and their horrific spate of crimes. The desire and determination to solve this case continued with just as much passion as it always had. However, there was now a lull, a stillness that had settled as life moved forward. The case wasn't at the forefront of the public's mind. Californians were going about their lives, as they should be, without a constant feeling of fear and the ominous threat of an uncaught serial killer roaming among them. For the families and friends of the five known Zodiac victims, however, it was the start of another year without the answers they so desperately wanted. Who killed their loved ones, and why? They wanted this person behind bars and punished for the devastation they had caused and continued to do so. Each year, they were free. Yet the haunting reality lingered. Somewhere, the Zodiac Killer was still out there.
From all of your investigations, what can you tell us about the Zodiac?
Not a great deal. He's not an unintelligent man by a long shot. His paragraphing, his phrasing, his punctuation is very good. I'm sure he has deliberately misspelled words in an attempt to lead us to believe that he's illiterate, but in so doing, why, he's led us to the point that we believe just the opposite.
In June of that year, the sheriff of Napa County Police Department, Earl Randall, received a letter. The author wanted to remain anonymous. It was 5 pages long, and it contained some startling information. In the 1970s, ham radio was a growing phenomenon and becoming a dedicated hobby to a lot of people. Amateur radio, which consisted of transceivers, antennas, and power supplies, enabled communication across different frequencies, connecting people from all over the world. It was a way to talk with others without reliance on commercial telecommunications at that time. It was common for ham radio groups to frequently communicate together. It was one such group that had seemingly become alarmed after a new member joined in with their communications. The anonymous author told the sheriff he needed to contact an individual who was eager to help the investigation by handing over everything they knew. They believed they had uncovered the true identity of the Zodiac. The mystery author said this individual had met the suspect through ham radio in 1972, and they had kept in contact ever since. Two other individuals were referred to, who could also provide detailed first-hand information on the suspect. The letter was perplexing, hinting at the involvement of several individuals, all of whom wished to remain anonymous at the time of writing. It was undeniably intriguing, yet it was an unusual method to make contact and share information in context of a serial murder case. The author told Sheriff Randall this new ham radio member had quickly alarmed the group. When two of the group accepted an invitation to the suspect's house in San Rafael, California, they became suspicious of his connection to the Zodiac Killer case. The letter went on to claim that pornographic pictures of boys adorned the hallway of this man's home. He had hobbies, including using a teletype machine, electric diagramming, and was skilled in ambidextrous writing. He was a man who enjoyed old silent films, with one film in particular he had invited the men to watch with him. A film called The Red Phantom. The authors also claimed the man's writing was an exact match to the Zodiac's handwriting. The man they were referring to was 50-year-old Richard Rick Marshall. He had worked in several silent movie theaters in San Francisco. By the early 70s, he was working as an engineer for a radio station in the San Francisco Bay Area. The mystery author said Marshall matched the physical description of the Zodiac Killer. It was information that sounded almost too good to be true. Sheriff Randall followed up on the letter, and Rick Marshall was investigated as a possible suspect in the case. Marshall agreed to be interviewed by Detective Ken Narlow, who had been involved in the case since the Lake Berryessa murder in 1969. He denied he was the Zodiac Killer. It was an investigation that didn't lead to any evidence of the Zodiac killings being uncovered. Although some coincidences and similarities, it appeared there was nothing to link Rick Marshall to the killings. 2 years later, in 1978, Robert Graysmith was working at the San Francisco Chronicle as their cartoonist. He had become fascinated with the Zodiac case after witnessing the letters arrive at the Chronicle from a killer who seemingly enjoyed toying with reporters and law enforcement. Since then, he had been gathering all the information he could find about the Zodiac, conducting his own investigation into the case. On August 9th of that year, Graysmith received a phone call. The voice on the other end told them they had read an article that had mentioned his name and his interest in the case and decided to make direct contact. They said they knew who the Zodiac was. Graysmith described what happened next within the book that he would release 8 years later. the caller told him he had a friend who was a ham radio enthusiast, and he had become acquainted with a man they now believed to be the Zodiac Killer. The more they had learned about him, the more he seemed to fit the profile. His name, they said, was Rick Marshall. The caller said Marshall used to work at the Avenue Theater in San Francisco with a man called Bob Vaughn. They believed Marshall had hidden evidence of his 5 murders inside movie canisters that he had then rigged to explode. Marshall had asked an unsuspecting Vaughn to store these canisters for him, warning him not to go near them as they contained dangerous nitrate film. The caller told Graysmith that Detective Bill Toski knew about Marshall but had cleared him from the Zodiac investigation. As far as the caller was concerned, this was a mistake. They urged Graysmith to find Vaughn and try to look at his film collection. The sections Vaughn didn't want him to touch would be where the crucial evidence would lie. Unable to just put this call down to a prank, Graysmith wanted to check it out. He went to the Avenue Theater on San Bueno Avenue in San Francisco. Opened in 1927, the theater eventually installed a Wurlitzer organ that required specialist knowledge to play. From then on, an array of films would be shown, including silent films, to excited patrons eager to watch. In 1968, Bob Vaughn began working at the theater as the organist. It was there that he met Rick Marshall. Graysmith began investigating Marshall and came across a poster for the theater that was believed to have been handwritten by him. It was writing he determined that was similar in size and shape to that of the Zodiac Killer and his handwritten letters. Now what he needed was access to Bob Vaughn. Armed with this information, Graysmith made his approach after finding Vaughn at an LA theater where he now worked. Graysmith states he then visited Vaughn's home and discovered it was actually Vaughn who had written the posters and not Marshall. He did look at Vaughn's film collection stored in the basement of his home and did not get directed away from any particular area. The encounter ended on pleasant terms. However, Vaughn was not able to tell him where Marshall was now. Despite his investigations, there was no new evidence unearthed that could connect Rick Marshall to the Zodiac murders. As adamant and passionate as the anonymous caller was, with no new evidence to back up these claims, there was nothing to investigate. When Graysmith published his book Zodiac in 1986, it was the result of 8 years of painstaking research. His focus throughout was on one suspect, Arthur Lee Allen, although he did introduce others as avenues he explored, including Rick Marshall. In his narrative, he called Marshall Donald Jeff Andrews. The book was released to mixed reviews. Graysmith's storytelling and gripping narrative of a long, complex true crime case was complimented. However, some took issue with his singular focus on one suspect and argued that this intense spotlight led him to overlook or alter certain facts, distorting the broader picture of the case. In 1989, 2 years after Graysmith's book was published, Rick Marshall was featured in a television interview where he was asked about the speculation that he was the Zodiac Killer.
I must have a double floating around. I hope the poor guy doesn't look like me, but the fact is that the characteristics you just mentioned fit me almost to a T. I really am startled at the mass and accuracy of the detail. And obviously, if they had been that forthcoming about that at the time, I would have understood why they were investigating me. My innocence notwithstanding, the details do fit.
Graysmith's meticulous investigation into Rick Marshall and the Zodiac case led him down an intriguing path that ultimately reached dead ends, with nowhere else to go. He was unable to find any new evidence linking Marshall to the Zodiac murders. Just as it had years earlier, after the strange anonymous letter to Sheriff Randall, the investigation into Rick Marshall stalled, undermined by lack of concrete proof. The mystery surrounding the Zodiac Killer persisted, captivating people all over the world. It was a complex web of leads and an array of red herrings, making the case even more intricate to solve. The publication of Robert Graysmith's book in 1986 put the Zodiac's case back into the public's minds and thoughts. Many thought of the victims and their families, and how so many years on, they still had not received answers or justice. Others were drawn into the dark allure of the case, taking up the challenge and launching their own investigations, just like Robert Graysmith had so many years before. The Zodiac case was waiting to be solved. A killer was roaming free, uncaptured and unpunished. The potential suspects just kept on coming.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.